on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Sora, apparently the shows we've been doing lately have been very successful.
Very successful.
We've gotten a lot of email.
So successful, in fact, that we've gotten more email than we could ever even dream about.
Yeah, like, so I'm really bad at replying to emails, so I just like to read them on the air, or discuss them on the air at least, whether or not I read the messages, so that people know, you know, I've got them in my heart. So we got several. Is there one that stands out to you that you want to cover first?
Something about dandruff. That's the only thing. That's only because the letter was about...
In direct response to your challenge.
My challenge of think of a random topic and we'll relate it to games. And actually, I've been racking my head for the past 5 minutes trying to figure out what the F do games have to do with dandruff shampoo. It wasn't dandruff, right? It was anti-dandruff shampoo specifically.
Well, right? let's read this portion of the email. I'm trying to figure out which one.
I resent the shotgun approach, right? Because he just rattled off like four or five unrelated things, which is definitely not in the spirit of this activity.
Okay, so let's remind everybody what your challenge was.
Well, we magically last episode started to talk about toilets for some reason.
People love it. Because I got new toilets
in my
house.
Because you got a toilet, right? And then I masterfully weaved and crafted that into a lesson about game design.
I took a picture. Right, I went to the house on the way here, by the way. And I could show you. There's a trench now. We got concrete cutters came in and cut a channel in the ground. You ever, like, put a hole in the bottom of your house and realize, oh, look, there's dirt under there? You probably haven't.
No.
But me, sir, I have.
You have. I put a hole in the side of my house and I found out there's rocks under there. So.
No, there's definitely a lot. I was just digging dirt out of a trench in my kitchen floor today. So that was awesome. It'll have concrete in it soon.
Right. So anyway, we were so enthused and overconfident about our we mean me. My linguistical skills that we said, hey, you know, just say any topic at all, no matter how outrageous, and we'll figure out a way to relate it to video games.
So Shifter writes, in response to your current challenge, the one about obscure topics that can somehow relate to video games, I've got several suggestions. The first of which is evolution versus creationism.
Easy.
Or dandruff shampoo.
Much more difficult.
Last but not least, why American Asian cooking in restaurants is never as spicy as they say it is, because that bugs me a lot.
And that bugs me even more, because I can't even find food that's spicy enough for me.
In the American Asian restaurants, yeah, they're not necessarily super duper spicy. But I was actually playing poker at a bar a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And there's this one guy who frequents the poker games around town, some sort of mathematician, chess wizard guy. And he was just out of the blue, anybody who walked by or the hostess or whomever, she'd be like, hey, you want to try this hot sauce that my friend makes? And I totally wanted to be like, dude, you should give me some of that. I'd take it to Ara.
Crazy. See, most people would get weirded out by that, right? Because you don't go around introducing yourself by, you want to try some hot sauce, right?
Well, this guy
most people
isn't necessarily
don't.
A social maverick.
Right. But that's what most people would say. But I can relate to this. I'd be like, this would be like a magical, like, fortuitous encounter of, like, my like double from like across the world. I'd be like, yes, I would love to try that hot sauce.
I would call that synergy, sir.
Yes, what a better way to meet somebody than to be introduced with hot sauce.
Yeah. All right, so dandruff shampoo is the one that's been giving you the trouble. So let's just jump to that.
Yeah, so no, I can't think of anything. You're going to have to give me some time with the dandruff.
I also said I wanted to take on the challenge as well. But what if I just lead you a little bit to it? So what does dandruff shampoo do? Takes something that is dirty and aged and could be clean but isn't clean because it's got all the dead skin still attached,
around. But you have to use the dandruff shampoo when you've been neglecting your shampooing duties and you haven't been washing enough of the shampoo out of your hair.
So how did we relate to gaming?
That's who you get. It's the target, you know, the little fly on the urinal.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it's a video game design principle right there. Draw a fly on all your games.
So shampoo, Dandruff shampoo is taking a condition which is especially bad, but not universal. Not everybody has the dandruff.
Right, but the people who have the dandruff have been neglectful. See, they haven't been using the proper self-discipline to
Or they just have a very bad environment that they can't overcome.
Or perhaps. I was trying to relate this to, like, having to play a certain kind of game that's uncomfortable to play, but you get something good out of it. Because when you use dandruff shampoo, it's kind of like it's itchy. You kind of get that,
tingly.
Like, the tingly. Yeah, like there's, like the tension on your scalp is, like, much higher. And it's like, you're like, did I do the right thing? Is my scalp burning off? Is this acid? You're not really sure the first time, right? I mean, if you've used it, you know the feeling, right? So anyway, where is this getting us?
I'm just wondering, are you stumped on day one?
So I am stumped on day one, but that was a fantastic answer. The best I can do is that it's like something that it's like the game where you don't want to play it, right? But then after you play it and you're practiced at it and you learn skills, they make you a better person, corresponding to the lack of dandruff in your hair post dandruff shampoo.
Okay.
That's the best I can do for you right now. Now,
oftentimes you're basically bald.
Yeah.
By choice. Does that lend itself to
being
dandruff?
Bald is a choice.
Does that lend itself to dandruff?
No. It doesn't right. even lend itself to shampoo.
Now, I'm going to skip to the bottom of Shifter's long email.
Okay, let's
Something else on. I just wanted to point out. We've been talking about the cracked.com article. And by the way, that's cracked, past tense, right. ED.
I've never been to cracked.com.
I'm sure it's something special. I'm just positive. So, Shifter writes, I wasn't going to say this, but I guess I have to. One of my friends told me about your show, and because of your rants about the article from cracked.com, you broke me of my MMO addiction. Thank you for showing me the error of my ways. I'm glad I only played the free MMOs or I would have wasted all my money on something as repetitively stupid as that. I used to play almost religiously and I'm now free of that burden. Thank you so much. So clearly we're doing a public service with this program.
Well, this is what you think. And I would hate to argue with you. But I think the far more likely situation is that maybe he wasn't really addicted. But the interesting thing that this brings up for me is that I don't think that most people who play games are actually self-aware of that aspect of the process of, say, grinding until, you know, 14 hours until you get, you know, the special super-duper whatever.
So you think it's really a question of self-awareness? Like, can you observe what you're doing and realize that you're wasting time?
I mean, obviously, right, just being self-aware of it for many people is not going to do anything. But at the same token, I think for a lot of people, they're not even self-aware of it. And then to just bring this process to light so that they understand, hey, you know what? Effectively, all you've been doing is, you know, just pressing the button until the good stuff comes out and you're compelled to do it repeatedly as fast as possible for these reasons, right? Putting all manner of other activities aside. I think that a lot of people, when it's explained to them, when they actually become self-aware that, oh, this is what they're doing, right? Then they're like, oh, that's kind of lame, right?
I think that's sort of why I don't play as many video games as I used to general.
That has to do a lot of it. That has a lot to do with it. And also, I can remember back in my days of youth, and you know, like the first time you played a certain type of game, right, and it just compelled you endlessly to play it over and over and over, right? And the very first time, you don't have any idea about why it's so awesome. You're just like, oh, I just want to keep playing this, and you have no clue.
Tetris Attack was like that.
Yeah, and the first couple times, you still have no clue. You're like, wow, I just can't wait to play this. And you're like, why is this game so good? I don't know, but I just gotta play it, right?
Rock
and,
Band.
And like, I'm on level 47, and you know, whatever, right? So I think after, depending on, you know, the individual's mental capacity for various things, right? If after you go through that enough times, you kind of, the pattern emerges enough for you to be self-aware of it. And then you're like, yeah, you know what? This doesn't seem, you know, so cool anymore. You know, I think the first like 5-10 times people had to do an activity called grinding, you know, they probably didn't have a name for it unless somebody gave it to them.
Yeah. Until they realized they were just grinding.
Right, right. Yeah. Because you have to be exposed to something for a certain amount of time before you can have an understanding of what it is.
Well, either way, I'm thankful that we were able to break Shifter of this addiction, or not totally addiction. I don't know.
Well, me too. And I also, I'm hoping that since the subject is just gaining greater self-awareness in the video game community and industry overall, that, you know, maybe developers in general will be more apt to
make games that don't suck.
Well, make games that don't suck. Okay, that's the short of it, right? But, you know, find more compelling, enriching ways to actually use their devices that they want to use in their games.
All right. Well, with that message of great charity to the world that we have performed, that's when I can remind our listeners that this is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon.
My name's Ara.
And we do this every week. So go to our website, chatterboxgameshow.com. As I've been reminding for the last month or so, it's a pretty crappy website because we do a radio show. We don't do a website. But we've got stuff there. You can learn a little bit about us by looking at the lack of updates and at least access all of the programs that we do on the radio. And, of course, iTunes can get our podcast as well. If you're in Phoenix, you can even listen to us live on the radio, AM radio. And even if you're not in Phoenix, you can call in 866-536-1100. We're here for the rest of the hour, if you're listening live, that is. And got some more emails, so let's pump through these. Maybe we can at least finish mentioning them.
Indeed.
Last week, we totally wailed on this guy who wrote an email the week before complaining that, like, we were Republicans or Democrats or something,
I don't know what our political leaning was, but it was obviously wrong and immoral.
Yeah, but I got a very nice letter from Swan Dog, apparently, just pointing out that I had misread a small portion of it. So anyway, I'm just thanking him for writing that because he was absolutely right. The email still didn't make sense. It was dumb, and we were right to rail that guy.
Right.
But there was one bit that confused me, and I said on the air that it confused me, and he explained it all to me.
And it's boring, so we won't go through the specifics.
Exactly. It's just a grammar thing.
If you're pissed off about something political, you're going to write things that make no sense.
Yeah.
So
it's a poor use of articles and other
not types the best of way words. To channel the passion through that medium.
All right. Now, another email we got is from a long old friend of mine from years and years ago, back when I was only on CompuServe for the internet, like when there was no World Wide Web to
That's
me.
That's a long time ago.
It was just CompuServe forums, which weren't called forums. Anyway, so my buddy Ken, who's still back in Massachusetts, as best as I can remember.
Bulletin boards?
Sort of. But, I mean, it wasn't a BBS. It was like you log in.
Oh, right, because it was
Remember Prodigy?
Prodigy.
Right, but it was CompuServe, not Prodigy. But anyway, there were video game areas. I spent a lot of time in there. Racked up my dad's internet bill. Anyway, he's asking about joysticks, a good joystick to use if you're not going to build your own. So I'm going to talk about that and try to convince him that he should build his own. We'll do that when we get back.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
And we have returned. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
So, before we continue, I want to remind everyone to go to uat.edu. That's the website for the University of Advancing Technology. That's a school here in technically Tempe, basically Phoenix area. Though, you can learn about games and making games and talking about games. It's a good way to spend a few years if you're at that point in your life, you want a degree, that sort of thing. So head over to uat.edu. Now, like I said before the break, Ken sent me an email just asking me to consider this as content for the show, and I think it makes total sense. He points out that the Xbox Live game Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix was on sale until April 7th, which I guess means tomorrow, am I right?
Probably tomorrow.
Yeah, until tomorrow. And I think that's I read about that on Joystick or something, at $5 or $7 or something. So, you know, if you're looking for that game, go for it. It's a great deal. And HD Remix is supposed to be a good version. Anyway, so he got it. And he says, but as I suspected, the standard Xbox 360 controller sucks for fighting games.
Sure.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. I'm not a hardcore gamer and don't want to spend hundreds of dollars buying or building a quality fighting stick. Could you recommend an Xbox 360 joypad or joystick that knows the difference between a Hadouken and a Shoryuken and won't break the bank? So this is difficult.
Yeah, too bad he's not playing it on the Saturn.
That's true.
Just like there's fantastic joypads on the Saturn.
Yeah. So this is a tough combination, a request for a difficult combination of both quality and low price. Now, this in life you'll find is a difficult combination regardless of the venue, whether it's video games or love or whatever you want, cars.
Yes. Except for video games, almost all the commercial options are crap, in my opinion.
Yes. Now, I could tell you that there's some varied opinion on this, but the Mad Catz official Street Fighter controllers, the big turbo stick ones, not the miniaturized $80 versions. Those had, like, I have friends who each had ones that broke very quickly.
Okay, how much is the non-miniature side?
The turbo one is $150. But the thing is, like, they undersold them, and you could get them for cheaper. Now, the Super Stick, which is a slight variation on the one from the standard Street Fighter 4 that, you know, released last year, the Super one is a slight modification because they liked the normal one so much. I remember talking to Seth from Capcom about that at CES. He said, yeah, it's slightly different. We have to release something, but it's mostly visual. It's pretty much the same stick because it was just so good. So here's the thing. I heard, but did not personally experience, that even those sticks had them break. Like, they would just stop working after a while. I guess the circuit board that controls everything went bad. But I personally did not experience that. Now, I can also say that by the time I got my own, I got, like, that funky Femme Fatale one only available at... it wasn't available easily, and I know it was at PAX. That's where I got mine, was at PAX.
Femme Fatale.
Yeah.
I missed that one.
It's the girly purple one. It's awesome.
Oh, okay. This isn't like some like weird like hentai art on the side or something.
No. But it was the women of Street Fighter 4.
Gotcha.
And it was purple and white. So anyway, it's good. It's really high quality. It's got good parts. It's got a great layout. I'm very happy with it. Now, it is $150.
And it is purple.
Well, yes. I mean, they're all the same, regardless of the color scheme. There's several different versions of it. But you could probably get a Street Fighter 4 joystick, not the Super Street Fighter 4 one, used or at Amazon or something for less money than the new Super Street Fighter 4 one. So I would urge you to do that. And it actually, I mean, if you're at all a fighting game player, you say you're not a hardcore gamer, but I know you think about video games all the time.
This is funny, right? Because... everybody throws around those words differently, and the only distinction that I make is, and I believe is the only useful distinction, is that besides the fact that games cannot be hardcore or casual, only people's attitudes are, you either care about the outcome of performance in the game or you don't. And well, clearly this guy cares about his performance because the current controller is not sufficient for what he needs.
Well, in addition... people generally don't like to think of themselves as being part of the extreme.
Well, right, because nobody wants to have that stigma.
Yeah,
right?
I'm not the hardcore player. There's someone else who's much worse than me or whatever. Yeah. But I would categorize you as Ken, knowing that you're a big, gamer geek guy, like the rest of us. Maybe he's not so much into games as he is computers.
But he should just man up and admit that he's geek enough to care about the quality, so he's geek enough. Yeah. To be a geek.
Now, I should also move by. You said joypad or joystick. There was Street Fighter 4 joypad available.
Yeah, I didn't actually ever use it, so I can't comment on it.
Seth was telling me it's actually quite good, and I trust him. And it had a D-pad that didn't suck, so more along the lines of the Sega Saturn D-pad.
And I'm a joypad kind of guy.
So. I am not. I'm joystick. Now, I should point out, by the way, that I don't actually like the joystick on the big controllers I was just espousing. Like, it's got a square gate, and I hate square gates. But that's a preference thing. Some people like square gates. Some people like oct gates. I'm a circle or no gate guy. But, and if you know what I'm talking about,
no gate,
cool.
What is that, like the Atari stick where it wouldn't move at all?
No, it's just a circle, right? There's no limitation on the direction. So for those who don't know, the gate, let's say you're holding the joystick and you're rolling the joystick around the full perimeter, of its motion. The Street Fighter or Super Street Fighter 4 joystick, at least I assume the Super Street Fighter 4 is the same way, has a square gate, which means if you move it to the top left, that's the furthest you can move it. And then when you move it from top left to top right, you're going to move in a very straight line, a single straight line to the top right. And then you go down to the bottom right, and it's going to be another straight line. So you're forming a square with that, which also means if you try to do a curve motion, you're going to feel that square in the middle, that... you're going to hit the side and then go up.
You don't like that.
I don't like that. I could handle an octagonal gate, which also exists, because it's more of a curve motion. You don't sort of get stuck in that corner. I prefer the circle gate, which is that of an arcade there's no gate at all, and so you can just roll in a circle, which I would think Street Fighter players would want, because there's a lot of curve motions. But anyway,
you can
go in and you can change the gate. You can get the piece of metal replaced.
Yeah.
Because those parts are sold.
So do the Midway joysticks? Do those have Hepta, Tena, Nina gates?
You're talking about the 49 directional ones?
Yeah.
Those are different. Those don't. That's not a gate. That's a you turn the stick.
Right, but that would have been funny.
Yes,
if you could.
Oh wait, no, those aren't turned.
No, not turned. It's just 49 weight.
Yeah, but that's all through digital.
Couldn't remember the official term for 49.
Yeah, neither can I. Anyway, so that joystick is high quality. I'm not a fan of the gate, the square gate, but you could get that fixed just by changing a part. The joypad is supposed to be good, but I don't have personal experience with it. But that's the only way for the 360 that you can go, really. There's other third-party wares. And, you know, if you go onto the forums on Capcom and stuff, and there's some, I forget what it's called, like Shoryuken forums or something.
Yeah,
they'll probably tell you all about it.
I'm going to be a total douche and say there's also like an internet site called Google. I don't know if you heard of it.
Oh, don't do that to him. You never know what's good. You need to hear from the people who really play.
That's true, though. And I hate people when people do that to me.
I've heard good things about Hori sticks, but the Hori sticks that I've seen in America kind of blow.
Hori's quality, but I don't know what's going on with Hori in the United States.
Yeah, U.S. Hori stuff has always looked horrible to me, which is ironic considering the name.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe they send all the rejects here.
But the people who get the Japanese Hori sticks seem to love them. But you're looking to not spend a lot of money, so your best bet is probably to go get a Street Fighter 4 joypad, which I've seen used at GameStops all over the place. At least, you know, I had last time I was around and looked. I don't go there very often. So keep an eye out for those and give it a shot. Of course, it's a corded controller, which you may not be used to, but the joystick would be as well.
That's funny.
What?
You may not be used to cords.
Not anymore.
I know. Isn't it?
It's a new age, man.
I feel like an old man.
Right?
You know, old with the... I got to say, though, you know, when I turn on my system and I'm waiting, you know, like the 3 minutes that it takes for the game to load, I have this wonderful feeling of freedom. I can walk to the kitchen with controller in hand, you know, press the A button to dismiss the that dialogue box that comes up for no reason when there's like 2 minutes of loading before it and 4 minutes of loading after it, and it's only there to make sure you're there. Demon's Souls does that. I don't know why they do that. But
that's PS3.
Yeah, PS3. And so I'm like, wow, I'm in my kitchen. I'm still controlling the game. I can tell where I am from the music from far away, and it's a wonderful.
I thought we need to make belt clips for the controllers so that when you want to walk around the kitchen and grab stuff, you can just clip it on your belt.
That would be ultra geeky.
Yes, it would. So we have one more email and very little time to discuss it. Just real quick, someone was at PAX. Ross writes in, and apparently he was one of the Omeganauts at PAX East, and I really want to get this guy on the air. So Ross, I should have replied to you already, and I just haven't. So hopefully you'll hear this and write back to me, and we can arrange for you to be on a show in the future, because I want to hear about the experience of being an Omeganaut.
And me too.
So for those who don't know what an Omeganaut is, go figure it out. You do a lot of competition stuff at PAX. You're randomly selected, and you can win huge, huge prizes. And I guess he got to be one of the finalists, but I don't know how far when he says finalist or whatever word he used.
So he's the last.
No, he said he even made it to the final round, which means he's one of two, which means he definitely won something awesome. Apparently, he's not the winner, or he would have told me that. Anyway, at some point, he's in a room with Gabe and with Will Wheaton, who, you know, talks at PAX, and then they started talking about D&D and World of Warcraft, and Will mentioned Skinnerbox, which is something we talked about in that Cracked article.
This is true.
Predicting games. And so he was like, oh yeah, and he talked about stuff he heard on our show, and he pimped out our show to Will Wheaton because of that Skinnerbox discussion, and he thanked us for giving him something useful to talk about instead of just, you know, geeking out on Wesley Crusher stuff.
So now in the back of our heads, we're both hoping that Will is actually listening to
the show. Totally going to give us a call. Anyway, thanks for that, Ross, and email me, man. We'll get you on the show.
We'll be back.
Hello, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
Holy crap, we're back on the air, Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Now, supposedly, Ross was listening live and called in. I didn't even have to tell him a, you know, send him a message with my mind.
This is the guy that we were just talking about.
Just
we
talking
break.
About him. It's like, oh my God. So, Ross.
This is the kind of quality show we run here, ladies and gentlemen.
Ross, you are on the air, but I've got a test for you, sir.
What's up, Bob?
What was your username in the forums?
It used to be Bacon Sandwich.
All right, it's Bacon Sandwich. And what did I think of you every time I met you at PAX, like 83 times?
You met me twice. We shook hands once. I remember I tried out for the treasure box.
Yeah, dude, not everybody can be a winner.
I apparently did not gain your approval. I didn't.
Not only that,
enough of the questions you gave me.
You would come to me afterwards and introduce yourself, and I'm horrible with faces, especially at events like this.
Did he introduce himself as Bacon Sandwich?
Yes.
Twice. That was the deal. You totally forgot who I was the second time
Now, hold on. Yeah. Hold on. This is a very important question. Was it a crispy bacon sandwich or a soggy bacon sandwich?
Oh, crispy bacon sandwich.
Definitely okay. Crispy. Okay. Yeah. So I felt so bad because, like, first of all, he wants to do the show, and it's just that I can't pick everybody. It's hard to select three people when everybody wants to do it. And so I couldn't pick him, but then I wanted to do for something else, and it's like, oh, is Bacon here for the next thing? And he wasn't there last year. And then, like, every time I'd see him, I'd have no idea who he was. By the way, if you were to wear a name tag,
so
I would know, because I'm much better when I see letters. That's how I memorize things.
So he basically made him feel like an S-head.
I did. I made him feel like an ass every time, and I felt so bad for it. I was like, man, this is like a devoted listener. He's in the forums. Like, this is the guy you want to please. He's your fan. And so much so that he's listening live to the show and sending me emails.
And now he's come for his revenge.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of serendipitous. I haven't I have not listened to you guys for a while. And literally just about a month ago when you guys started talking about the Skinner box and all that.
Yeah, well, any listener who can belt out five-syllable words like that is A-OK in our book.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm glad you approved.
Okay, well, listen, while we've got you on the air, you said you were in a Meganaut and that you made it to the final round, which is a big, big feat. So congratulations there.
Yes, it was amazing.
I want to hear all about this. I haven't ever gotten the chance to talk to one of them. I've always thought I would get a hold of them, get them on the show. Now I've got you.
Let's just do this right now. You're our official guest for this episode.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Tell me about this process. As far as I know, it's random based on the people who pre-register. And then Gaber or Gabe's real name is Mike. So Mike or Jerry just call you up and be like, hey, you want to be an Omeganaut? So tell me the story from there.
Well, this year, every year they do it a little bit differently. With PAX East, they decided to, instead of pre-registering or anything, while you were walking into the keynote by Will Wheaton, you dropped a card with your name and your email address on it. Basically into a hat, and they drew 32 names out of a hat, and they just got those people to register. Well, while I was waiting in line, I got picked to be an alternate, basically the guy who runs Omegathon, who's sort of in charge of all of it. He stepped up to our place in line and said, we're looking for alternates. If you can answer this Penny Arcade-related trivia question, you can get in. So I got in. 10 people were chosen to be alternates.
What was the trivia question?
What is Anarchy's boyfriend's name?
And what's the answer? Because I totally don't know.
The funny thing was, I didn't know either. But I've been talking to a couple of people, and one guy looked up and he was like, I know it, but I don't really want to do the Omegathon thing, whatever that is. I'm like, okay, you lose.
Nice.
Just give me it. Nobody else could. His name is Galahad.
So that guy knew it. He gave you the answer, and then you got all the way to the final round?
Yes. As
Sweet.
A matter of fact, after the semifinals, I ran into that guy again, him and his girlfriend. It was pretty great. They were like, you guys are so amazing. I'm like, you're going to be there for the final round. I'm like, yeah, it was so close, guys. If you have time, I really want to tell you about it.
Yeah, I want to hear it. And I want to hear what you won, because even as the runner-up, you won something, right?
That is not true. However,
what?
They run things a little differently in Boston. They kind of don't know exactly what the future is for it. So,
dude, it was the biggest PAX yet. The future is they're doing another one.
Right. Typically, with the PAX Prime, the runner-up gets to come back next year and compete.
Yeah, but I remember back in the day, like, they gave away a giant computer to each person, and the big winner also got every Nintendo game ever made, right?
I don't know. I know for the past couple of years it's been the winner gets a trip to the TGS,
yeah,
the Tokyo Game Show.
Dude, and they give away a car 1 year. But so you got shafted? You got nothing?
I'll tell you what I got. I got a hug from Tycho, and I got, basically he gave me free reign behind the merch booth. So I have shirts, I have books, I have DVDs, basically everything that I could get my grubby little paws on. I just took.
All right, but so they'll let you get stuff. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, but it was I believe it was just because of how things went down. So the final round is obviously they don't ever tell you what it is before it starts.
Yeah, well, it's not obvious. So to the listeners,
I'm sorry. Yeah,
I'll explain real fast. It's this bracketed thing, you know. It's one on one.
What is this, like a video game competition?
Right? Yeah, Well, it's not all video games, but games.
Maybe we should go back a little bit. It's a sort of a mixed gaming competition. People are randomly chosen. This year, they had 32 people randomly assigned to two-man teams.
But somehow an alternate got in there as well.
Five alternates. Five people did not show up out of the names they picked out of the hat, and so they picked.
What kind of idiot do you have to be an Omeganaut and not show up?
I think five people could tell you.
Not only that, you put your name in the bucket, so you're voluntarily offering, I want to be an Omeganaut. You win, and then you don't do it?
That's exactly how I felt. I'm like, nobody's going to do this. This guy sort of sneaks past while we're weeding this talking, and they're like, there's five people. Five people didn't do it.
Wow.
And I'm on the Penny Arcade forums as well. One of them was, I think he was in the... in the concert hall, but he was behind a pillar or something like that and didn't even check. And so just expected it was just, you know, what are the chances of it actually happening? So he was kind of angry that he didn't get in it. But I was the last name called for alternate, so if he would have gotten it, then I would have been in.
Nice.
So I thank that guy for, you know.
So thank you to the pillar.
Back to this, because we don't have as much time as I'd like.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
It's this bracketed system, apparently 32 people, maybe different numbers in different years. I don't care. Yeah, one-on-one. They say, hey, you're going to play this game, Mario Kart, or you're going to play, you know, Rock Band with this song, or you're going to go play ping pong or a board game or, you know, thumb wrestling or something.
They had skee ball. They had everything under the sun that's sort of nerdy.
Yeah, and they tell you in advance before they even pick the Omeganauts. Round one's going to be this, two's going to be this, three's going to be this, all the way until the last one, which is a mystery for everyone until the minute they show it off at the event. Yeah. Like I remember, like I get sort of, you know, VIP-ish status when I'm there. I can go places where other people can't go because I do a show at PAX, right? So I can, you know, walk into places ahead of time or afterwards, whatever. I don't need a pass. But like this thing, I had the last event before the final event, right? So I do my thing, and then immediately later, it's the Omegathon, the final round. So I need to get in there. I need to set up my stuff. Rob, the guy who runs PAX, was out there. He's like, sorry, Lon, can't let you in, right? So I need to set up my event, and I'm like an hour late because they refused to let me in there to know what it was they were setting up because they're so private. Oh. About what happens there. Just to give you an idea of just how private it is, nobody knows. Like Gabe, Tycho, and Rob basically know the final game, and maybe some other Penny Arcade people, but nobody else can get in there. So it's Fort Knox.
Definitely.
And anyway, so round. You do all the different games. Finally, the final round comes, and it's the secret game. All right. So tell me more of your story.
Do you want me to tell you about the final round?
That's what I'm looking for. What was the game selected?
Well, this is the deal. They bring us up and they're like, they ask us, you know, what is it? And we don't know. We're just, you know, guessing. And they're like, we have not one game for you, but four.
Nice.
They then open up the curtains and there are four televisions set up on each side of the stage. And they say it's a relay. You and your teammate are going to, one's going to play the first game, one's going to play the second game, one's the third.
Is your teammate your opponent?
No, they were set into two-man teams. So I had a teammate through the entire Omegathon.
Oh, right. So I didn't realize that.
So the first round was double dash, and you played with two players in a cart, something like that.
Okay.
So it's a relay between your two teams, between your two people, and just two teams. Whoever wins, whoever, you know, gets through their objectives, because every game just has an objective to complete, then they win. So the first sheet comes up, and it's Super Mario Brothers for the NES.
Okay.
And they say I need to get 50 coins on Super Mario Brothers.
The first one, right?
For the first one. And so, we're ripping through. We get 50 coins. The next deal pops up, and it's Rad Racer.
Rad Racer, yes.
Oh, boy, I see where this is going.
Dude, you could play that game in 3D mode with blue and red glasses.
You can also use a power glove if you wanted to.
Hey, here's a trivia question for you, since you're all about the Chatterbox trivia. What button on the Nintendo controller did you press to go into 3D mode in Rad Racer?
I have no idea.
I know.
You do?
Yeah, select.
Yeah, it is select.
I never, ever played the game on my NES.
I did. Dude, I didn't have every game for the NES, but that happens to be one I had. I remember the 3D glasses somehow ended up in, like, my bathroom drawer for years and years. Anyway, I wanted you to stay on the line. I want to hear more about this. We'll be right back.
And we're back. That's right. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio, and we are interviewing the impromptu guest today. What's his name?
Ross.
Ross.
The bacon
you know
sandwich.
Ross. I have a bad memory, so we'll continue with this.
You're the one with bad memory. All right. Now, before we continue, I'm going to remind everybody once again about UAT, the University of Advancing Technology, and their website, uat.edu. Go over there, learn about how you can learn from them and be all academic and stuff. Because they're a university for making the games. Now, Ross.
What's up, Bob?
So I was just challenging you with incredibly stupid trivia about the game Rad Racer, because that was the second game in your four-game relay. Now, I want to step back a second. You said that there are these objectives. In the first game, Super Mario Brothers, you had to get 50 coins, but you were doing this with a partner. So how do you do that particular action with a partner?
Well, it was a relay. So I was playing the first game, and then my partner would play the second game.
Okay. Did he have any experience with Rad Racer?
He had also not played it.
That happens a lot in the Omegathon.
Yeah. I would
clean up in this contest, man.
It was fairly obvious that our opponents had also never really played a lot of Nintendo games.
Dude, I would have been a bomb at that.
When I had gotten my 50 coins, my opponent had gone. They were about at 20 some odd. So we had a big.
Oh, so you're playing against pansies, dude?
Right, exactly. We had this right. So
in the bag
comes up and they say 1500 points. Get 1500 points in Rad Racer.
Okay.
All you have to do is drive and not hit the traffic, and that'll win you.
It's a pretty simple looking racing game.
Exactly. My teammate does that, and I'm waiting at the third television. They pull the sheet off, and it's Tetris, NES Tetris.
How did you screw up Tetris?
I did not screw up Tetris. I actually had the best Tetris game I have ever played.
Oh my God! Okay, so you're killing it at all three of these games.
We are by the time I get done with Tetris, our opponents are just now getting to Tetris.
So what's the Tetris goal?
Tetris was to get 10 lines.
I knew it was going to be 10 lines. I knew it.
All right.
Is this reminding you of any games tournament you've heard of before?
Yeah, some Nintendo World Championship. So, okay, so what, the last one is Super Mario 3, right?
No.
I don't remember this as any particular Nintendo World Championship, but I don't know much about them.
Nintendo made a World Championship based on the movie The Wizard, and it had these games in it.
Okay.
Right.
The final game, it is a co-op game. This is we need to play. Is they pull this out, and it is Contra.
Oh man!
And they've already put the Konami code in, and it just says beat the first boss.
Okay.
So I hit start to unpause my game, and it is frozen.
What?
Contra is frozen, and the rules that they had set. In front of everybody, that if anything freezes up, because we are dealing with old technology, we need to start the relay again, starting from the beginning.
Yeah, do over. That's only fair.
Yeah, do over. That's only fair. Oh, man.
That is lame. So you start the whole thing over again.
I've seen a few YouTube videos of it, and the one thing I hear yelled out a lot is they practically won, or they had it. I've gotten all kinds of private messages from the Penny Arcade forum saying you guys totally got robbed.
No, you know what they do? They have multiple versions of each game ready to go, so all you do is roll the TV out of the way, and you've got another Nintendo waiting for you.
That's what I would have done. I mean,
yeah,
but the
because there were at least two TVs for each one anyway, right? Two Marios, two Rad Racers, so that you can have two people doing it at the same time.
Yeah.
All right, so I would have had two of each for each player.
What it basically boils down to is a combination of nerves and terrible Tetris pieces. Give me the worst game of Tetris I have ever played.
Oh, the Tetris gods
immediately
are not
following
kind
the
to you.
Best. So what they should have done is swapped the relay player, so you were on Rad Racer and he was on Mario the second time around.
The funny thing is, these guys had also not played Contra very, very much. We actually almost made it back. We sort of caught up to them right at the boss room. But they were about 5 or 6 seconds ahead of us. So I lost by 5 or 6 seconds. A trip to Gamescom in Germany, sort of the E3 of Europe.
Oh, that's very disappointing.
It also came with a bunch of cash, right?
What's that?
Also with like five grand in cash or something.
Five grand, but split between the two of us, so $2,500 each.
You didn't want to go to Germany anyway.
Honestly, that would have been awesome, but it's not like winning a car or every Nintendo game ever made that you could sell for like $30,000. Like it was
right.
But that's
become the sort of the standard prize at this point is trips to either TGS or Gamescom. Yeah. And
have you ever been to those things though? Have you been to E3 and CES and all these different things before?
I have not.
You've never been to any of them?
No, actually, PAX is the only show I've been to.
Sir, do you want to go to E3?
Rub it in, why don't you?
If I could afford it, I would love to go to E3.
Where do you live? I mean, general area.
In Ohio, Columbus, Ohio.
You can't make it to E3? Because we can get you into E3, sir.
Okay.
I can make that happen. You'd have to be a correspondent for the show. You know, maybe talk about some stuff on the show afterwards. But you can be
corresponding
an official
correspondent. Things.
Yeah.
Correspond.
I want you to be a winner, Bacon.
Oh.
Because you are a fan of the show, and you got robbed at PAX. And I love PAX guys, but stuff happens.
It was beautiful, and I got they were handing out these Skate 3 skateboard decks.
Yep.
And I have Gabe's and Tycho's and Will Wheaton's signatures on them. I got to sit down and talk D&D with Will Wheaton, and that kind of made the whole trip.
Yeah.
And we got to talk about Skinner boxes and how he believes the World of Warcraft is the worst thing that's happening to gaming ever.
Man, I like Will so much more now. I mean, he was cool before.
He's amazing. If you have a chance and you're on the YouTube, look up his keynote address. It is beauty.
I saw his keynote the first time he gave the keynote at PAX when he was the surprise keynote speaker or whatever. So I assume he doesn't talk about the same thing every year.
No, not at all. He did borrow a couple of little bits, but the bulk of the speech is primarily about his first experience with Dungeons and Dragons.
Right on.
It's beautiful.
All right.
And it's sort of one of those like life affirming gamer speeches where you feel really, really great about yourself afterward.
He does a good job with that. He's a good speaker, he's an artist. He's a theater.
He's Will Wheaton.
Well,
I was happy that I did not once say how much I wanted to be Wesley Crusher when I talked to him.
I was never a big Next Generation fan.
Or asking him how fast the turbo lifts go.
How fast the what?
The turbo lift.
Oh. I don't think those things really move.
I bet they go really fast, right?
well, they go so fast that maybe that explains why there's no bathrooms on that spaceship.
Maybe it does. You know what? Maybe there's space. Maybe the uniforms have bathrooms built into them. That's what I would do.
Maybe. Again, not a huge Star Trek fan right here. Just not. I don't know. My fiance, she likes that stuff.
Will Wheaton still loves you.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. I'm going to be at Comic-Con in Phoenix next month. So, I'll see LeVar Burton again. And maybe I can ask him to pass on a message.
Can I ask him if he could, how well he could see through those things? Like, nobody's asked me that before.
Oh, I never thought to even ask him, but, yeah.
Don't do it.
He doesn't
now,
like
now
it.
Now I want to ask him that. Did you get sued by Fram?
What? I don't even know the reference.
It looks like an air filter.
Oh,
get it.
Okay, good. Well, we're getting a little bit too much off topic for my tastes.
All right.
Listen, I want to thank you, Bacon, Ross, for...
It's my pleasure.
For being such a fan of the show, listening live, calling in on the spot, and I am 100% serious when I tell you, if you would like to go to E3, as your parting gift from PAX, from losing, we can make that happen. Now, I'm not going to pay to make that happen, since I have to pay to make this radio show happen. But
right.
If you just want in, sir, if you can find a way, we can find a way to get you in as part of the Chatterbox team, because we would love to have you. So keep in contact with me about that if you're interested. And, you know, that's a special thing for Bacon, because he's done this. He's been on the show now, and I appreciate it. So anyway, with that, I'm going to say goodbye and thank you to you,
hey.
Ross.
Bye, Bacon.
No problem,
bud. All right. Now, so thank you very much. We only have like a minute left.
Yeah, I have a minute of material
yeah,
for
that,
you.
That was awesome. I love that he called
that
in.
That was pretty cool.
Not planned.
Yeah.
That is also synergy.
Now I have 50 seconds of material.
All right. Let it fly.
So here's a little thing. Saw the other day. It's pretty funny. Wanted to share with everybody. Apparently, there in high schools, there's some program where they put up like posters and advertisements to tell you to do healthy good things, right?
Yes,
so
there's fruit.
So there's this thing called Gym Shorts, which they put up posters about healthy gaming, right? And you know, so first of all, like, you're looking at this thing, like, it's like way too much text, so no teenager will ever read this, but if they actually read it, some of the things in here are kind of funny, right? So it asks you, like, are you addicted to video games? Oh, so how do you find out if you're addicted? Do you find yourself thinking or talking about a particular game even when you're not playing it? Yeah, must be addicted then. Have you sat down at the computer with the intent of only playing 20 minutes and found yourself playing for over 3 hours? So that's clearly
what I love
you
is
must
the,
be
the
addicted.
Picture of the guy in the front using an original Xbox controller.
Yeah, well, it's...
And looking not so enthused in his game.
It's
or
clip
too
art. I think it looks like he's on the can, frankly. yeah, and then it's just like some other things they say that are ridiculous. Trade in your video game every once in a while to play a classic board game or join a sports team. Real games can be just as fun.
Yeah, they can be.
Because video games, they can't be real.
Thanks, everybody. We'll be back next week.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.